Hello, fellow travelers on the road that is life's journey. This is Kim Best of Best Conflict Solutions. You chose the right path by listening to Aubrey and the Road to Rediscovery. Enjoy.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on the Road to Rediscovery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. Now, just a quick reminder, you can hear this show anywhere you listen to your podcast. We are on every podcast outlet you can think of and those you can't think of. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on Pandora. And like I said, there's a lot of others internationally, globally, that we are on as well. And if you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, we invite you to leave a rate and review. And if you're not on Apple Podcasts or you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, however you do have a different platform, we still invite you to give us your feedback. Just send us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. And we may even mention your feedback in a future episode. All right. My special guest is a best-selling author, special business coach, and founder of The Small Business Path, an organization where she coaches her clients to build a foundation and discover their passion and purpose before starting a business. Her book, Navigating the Small Business Path, sets out 10 steps small business owners should follow to create a successful venture doing what they love. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Maya Manso to the show. Maya, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. I mean, likewise, we're thrilled to have you here. So if you can just start us off by just giving us a glimpse into your journey and inspiration behind your great work that you're doing now in this, I feel it's a specialized type of coaching, but what's your inspiration behind this?
So I started with a lot of corporate business experience and then small business experience. Mm-hmm. And everything was going along great until my 23-year-old daughter, who was also involved in my businesses, mm-hmm. Was diagnosed with leukemia, and she passed away after a very brief battle, about 3 months. And as you can imagine, the grief was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I stopped doing everything. From the day she was diagnosed, I just stopped all the work because that was not the important part.
Right.
And after she passed, it took me another 9 months probably to even begin to contemplate what life after that looked like.
Wow.
And very, very profoundly, after she passed, you know, this unwelcome mantra just kept running through my head of, why am I still here when she is not?
Yeah.
What is my purpose? Like, deeply, profoundly, what is that impact that I am here to have on this world that will make it worth me waking up and getting out of bed every morning? Right. Because, that you know, when you've gone through something really devastating like that, so traumatic, you have a choice, and the choice is, do you sit in the chair and cry every day, mm-hmm. which I did for probably 2 months, mm-hmm. or do you choose to get up? Mm-hmm. And, you know, at about the 2 month mark, a friend of mine sat me down and she said, I know you believe you will never be okay again, but I know that if you continue to believe that, that will become your truth.
Right.
And she's like, you can't do that. So what I would ask of you is, every time you think, I will never be okay again, she's like, I want you to reframe that in your mind as, I will be okay someday, just not today. And that was life-changing for me, because it really showed me that I had a choice in what I believed. And over the next several years, I really did a very deep dive spiritually.
Yeah.
Into figuring out what was my purpose. What did I know? What problems did I know how to solve for myself and for other people? And of course, as I'm going through this tremendous grief,
right,
as I learned things and became okay and became better than okay,
yeah,
other people looked to me and said, how are you doing that? How, you know, what can you tell others that will help them? Mm-hmm. And so really, my life became about creating peace for myself and for others. And mm-hmm. I have a very specific definition of peace, which is, it's an inner state of being when you can find contentment, joy, and meaningful connection, regardless of your circumstances. Mm. And so as I really started to share how to create peace with the world, I thought, all right, so what is the most profound way I can help people build peace in their own life?
Right.
And for me, I took all that small business experience I had, because when you can do something that you love, when you can do something that is fueled by your purpose and your passion,
yeah,
and you can add value to other people's lives mm-hmm. in a very meaningful way, mm-hmm. that's my purpose. That's where I landed on what my purpose was. And you know, it is amazing to work with people to create a small business or a way of earning income that is purpose and passion fueled, because it's right. completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds completely different because, again, the business is fueled by the passion and purpose that person has for the business, and not the fact that they're making an income. I mean, not that alone, at least, right? But yeah. It's what brings you joy. What brings a smile to your face? What makes you so jazzed that you want to get up each morning and do and be a part of and add value? And that is where that passion and purpose is. And you know, Maya, I really have to commend you because again, this losing your daughter, I mean, is just completely unimaginable, unfathomable, and yeah. just absolute tragedy, you know, and my heart goes to you. And so as parents, and I'm a parent myself, as parents, you know, we, while raising our children, even as our children become adults, you know, we feel we have a purpose. Our children are our passion. We love them dearly, unconditionally, right? And at the same time, we have a purpose for our children. They're our legacy, you know, and so, you know, our purpose is, you know, we want them to be in a better state of mind in their lives than, you know, we were at their age. And we just want so much for them. And so, you know, when you lose a child, how do you rediscover that purpose? How do you rediscover that passion? And you took a lot of introspection and hard work in trying to rediscover that. So I truly want to thank you for, you know, your transparency and vulnerability in sharing, you know, the inspiration behind the business that you've started in helping business owners. And there's a couple things I wanted to ask you regarding business owners and their passion and trying to find, you know, that common ground between the two. But if you don't mind, before we go in that path, I would love for you to maybe help us understand, if you can, I guess part of the human psyche is, and you know, I'm not here to judge anyone's tragedy and, you know, and situation, but I've noticed over time that, you know, humans seem to naturally cling to negativity in a lot of situations and circumstances. And, you know, I mean, when you lose someone, I'll never compare that to anything. Okay. I mean, there's a grieving period. That's a process, and everyone takes that differently. But in the slightest of, well, not slightest, but the not as tragic circumstances that may be, let's say, letdowns, but it's not, you know, the end of the world. Why do some people tend to cling to that negativity, and it keeps them in that rut, you know, and what type of mindset or what shift in mindset is needed to get out of that rut so they can transform and realize their true potential?
You know, I think the answer to that is it's different. There are as many different paths to making decisions as there are people.
Right.
You know, for me, you know, my friend saying, can you create a shift where you can say, I will be okay someday, just not today. And, you know, for me, that was powerful because, you know, every day we make a million decisions. And when you live your life, you know, things happen, you kind of get trapped down roads that you don't realize that you're going down until you're there.
Right.
So my friend saying, can you create the opportunity of being okay?
Yeah.
And once you create the opportunity, it didn't mean I had to be okay today.
Yeah.
And I think that was the most brilliant part of it all, right? Because I was not okay when I started that mind shift.
Right, right.
But it all begins with something I call declaring dominion. So the first thing I teach everybody, regardless of why they come to me,
yeah,
is I get them to declare dominion over their soul. And really it is, you know, tremendously giving yourself permission to be in charge of who you are and the decisions that you make.
Yes.
You know, especially for parents who have lost children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only did we lose someone that we loved dearly, but biologically, we are programmed to protect our children at all costs.
That's right.
That's how our race survives, right? Mm-hmm. So not only did I lose this person that I loved tremendously, but biologically, my body found me at fault because my child died. Mm-hmm. I had failed, right? And so it wasn't a conscious thing, but it definitely was a subconscious thing.
Right.
And so my giving myself permission to move on kind of sent information from my brain to my body,
yeah,
to shift out of it. So I have people, my standard declaration of dominion over my soul is this: I declare dominion over my soul throughout all time and all space. All soul contracts that I have made in any life or this life, consciously or subconsciously, is now null and void. I give my higher self or my soul permission to reinstate or renegotiate contracts that bring me peace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what that does is, you know, it doesn't matter what the words are. It doesn't matter how, you know, all time or all space or whatever your beliefs are. But when you give your soul level permission to live the life that is who you are,
mm-hmm,
that sends messages to all within your body, all within your mind, all within your heart.
Yeah.
You open the door to what will come. And it doesn't matter what will come. but what's supposed to come for you will come.
That makes sense. Yeah, and you're open to it. That's why the door is open.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, and it's strategic. And one of the things that you mentioned that your friend told you, one thing you can tell yourself is you're going to be okay, but not today. You mentioned powerful. I have another word that just sprung into my head when you said that, and that word is reasonable. Because at that point in your life where you were and what you were going through, it's reasonable to say, I will be okay, just not today. Because you're not trying to put on a brave face to be okay and try to smile it out. You know, you're going through the grieving process. You're letting these things happen. You know, you want to cry, you cry. You want to sit in the corner or in your chair, or have the curtains drawn. Have the curtains drawn, like you said, for two months. And it's reasonable to say that. And it's not a lofty goal. When it's lofty, and I mean, it seems unattainable, then, you know, I'm not sure how much effort is made to try to reach that when it's not really reasonable. So I love that phrase. I'll be okay, you know, just not today. You know, it's resounding, I think. You know,
I think it applies to all grief, right? So
yeah.
I often talk about grief that comes from loss. But grief is really anytime life doesn't turn out the way you expected.
Yes.
You know, like a friend of mine, about 3 or 4 months after my daughter died, another friend, I was out to lunch with her, and she said, what's the difference between losing your dad and losing your daughter? And then she immediately was like, oh, you don't have to answer that. And I'm like, no, I know exactly. I know exactly how to answer that.
Yeah.
Losing my dad was losing my past. I always knew I would lose him.
Yeah.
It hurt. Yeah. I miss him terribly. He's been gone 22 years. I still miss him. I will always miss him. But it's not in the same way of losing my daughter.
Right.
And then I said, I imagine losing your spouse would be losing your current, right? You know, you're living a life, you're engaged, all of a sudden that person's gone, whatever.
Right.
With my daughter, I lost the future I thought I was going to have. She was a business partner. She had just gotten married. She died a week before her 6-month wedding anniversary. She had wanted to start a family. Yeah. We were going to work together. My grandbabies were going to be in the office with us, very involved and hands-on. So when I lost her, I lost all that.
Wow.
Right?
So,
and again, you don't have to lose a person. It could be you thought, like, you started a business and it didn't work out.
Right.
That's devastating. You're in a significant relationship. That person doesn't die, but the relationship ends. You know, there's so many things where we expect life to go a certain way and it doesn't.
Yeah.
And we have to grieve that, right? We have to grieve the loss of our expectation.
Yes.
But then And that grief looks different to everybody, how long it lasts, the severity of it, all of that. But at some point, you have an opportunity every morning when you wake up to make a different decision about how today is going to go.
Yes.
And so at some point, my hope is that people will say, you know what? Today's not bad. Today's okay. Maybe I can think about something else.
Right.
For an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes tremendous sense, Maya. And one other thing you mentioned, you know, declaring dominion. I'd love to see if you can give us an example of when you say declare dominion on your soul. I can't help but think there has to be something that is liberating and freeing that you feel when you do that. And would one example, and I'm just asking, but would one example be, say, someone who's gone through a tragic circumstance or a real bad circumstance? You know, everyone grieves and is affected differently. I understand that. But some people may put themselves or feel as if they're a victim or victimized. When you declare dominion, and that's being open and owning, you know, your next future actions and decisions, is for someone who previously has had like a mindset of feeling like a victim, is there something that liberates them from that when you declare dominion?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have worked with so many people at this point who have declared dominion, and it's kind of all over the map in terms of what they are freeing themselves from.
Yeah.
And I do not normally work with people who have addiction issues. But a dear friend of mine called me up one day and she said, you know, my daughter just called and asked for help because she's taking bad drugs. And if she continues, she knows she's going to die. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't know how to help her. Can I bring her to you? And again, this was a personal friend, not something I do on a regular basis, but I said, absolutely. So this young woman came and she ended up staying with me for about a week and she's very spiritual. We spent the first 4 days talking about declaring dominion and then what would come next. But I don't ever take anybody to the next until they've declared dominion because that's the baseline, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And each day for like the first 3 days, she's like, I'm not ready yet. I'm like, okay. And on the fourth day, we talked a little and she says, I'm ready. I'm like, okay. So let's do it. And I led her and she declared dominion. And she sat there for a moment and she looked at me and she said, it took me so long to declare dominion because I knew as soon as I did that my soul would require me to stop taking drugs.
Very transparent.
Very transparent.
Yeah.
So, you know, it varies all over the map, but everyone that I've ever done this with has been like, oh, that was transformational. Just in freeing myself up in that manner.
Oh, sure. Had to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it had to be. And everyone's ready at a different time, you know.
And you have to be ready. This is not something that you can.
Can't force it.
You can't force it. You know, divine timing. I greatly believe in divine timing. And you've got to do, you usually have to do some work to get yourself to the point where you're ready to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that makes a lot of sense. And then of course that's when the work really begins, right? I mean, you know, and extraordinary people such as yourself, you know, provide the care and the passion and the guidance, the compassion and the guidance, you know, to help these people through, because it's no easy task by any means. And I'm talking even outside addiction, you know, if you don't normally work with, you know, addicts when it comes to this, because you're helping people realize their purpose and passion before starting a business. You know, that's still a lot of hard work once they declare dominion. And now, you know, there's more work and guidance that you help them navigate through. And this is a great segue into that part of your business and the awesome work that you're doing here. If you don't mind me asking, how does one discover their passion and purpose? You know, are there some fundamental questions that we must ask ourselves to realize what drives us?
So I do have a pretty simple formula for how to create a small business that's purpose and passion filled. There's three sections. And when all of the sections are in alignment, your purpose is awesome. The first part is what I call the problem. It's the who and the what of your business.
Yeah.
what is a human need that people are willing to pay you to do for them, right? Mm-hmm. That's based on what you already know. Right. And whenever I'm talking about people with what their purpose is, inevitably when we land on, hey, I think this is your purpose, mm-hmm. all of a sudden they just start thinking like one after another, oh, well, I had this experience and that gave me this knowledge. And then I had this experience, and they think back and like, it's like their whole life has been in preparation for this purpose.
Yes.
The second part is the passion, which is the why of your business, right? I know how to solve a lot of problems, but if I'm not passionate about it, it's not in alignment. The right. best, you know, the best example I've got is, you know, people are like, well, I want to start a business and I want to make a lot of money. And I'm like, well, you know, if you want to make a lot of money, you could open a daycare. Mm-hmm. But if you don't like kids, right. it's never going to last.
That's right. That's
the right. problem you solve and your passion for solving it and for helping the people who have the problem.
Yeah.
That has to be in alignment. And then the third part of it, I call the plan of action, which is the how do you do it? It's the mm-hmm. when, the where, and the how, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I started a wedding photography business. There's, you know, thousands of wedding photographers out there.
Right.
But how I did it is always going to be different than how everybody else does it.
Yeah.
And the more you can take that how and create value in people's lives, mm-hmm. the more, you know, the more meaningful a connection you're going to have with them, and the more they're going to come back to you in the future, and the more they're going to refer people to you in the future.
Right.
So when all of that's in alignment, then you've got long-term success.
I see. And that I can visualize that in my head when you say when all of that comes into alignment, right? And so that leads me to ask, well, there's two questions. I guess the first question is, you know, we have our professional lives and we have our personal lives. And if we are a up and coming small business owner, there's a lot of, I don't want to say blurred lines, but there's a lot of overlap between the two, yeah. right? So when you have that overlap between the two, your how and your why, your what and your why, that passion and purpose, does the passion pretty much encompass a small business owner's personal life? You know, like, so if someone wants to start, let's say, a dog daycare or a dog grooming business because they love dogs, I guess that's a personal passion, right?
Yep.
Okay. So when you're helping them find their passion and their purpose and alignment between the two, it is truly what gets them jazzed up. I mean, you know, what personally touches their heart? Is that kind of like?
Yeah. So the first four things that I teach everybody who wants okay. to build a business, mm-hmm. the first is declaring dominion. Make right. yourself clear, call it in, own that you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
The second is I have them tap into their inner dreamer. Mm-hmm. And their inner dreamer is not just about the business. It's about life. Right? What does yeah. your dream life look like? Yeah. Well, I want to have weekends off, or I want to, you know, live here or yeah. whatever, right? Yeah. Whatever that dream life is, right?
Yeah.
And then what is their dream for the business, mm-hmm. right? Well, I'd like to have enough income so I can live here and do these things and spend this time when I'm not at work, like, yeah. especially after having lost my daughter. Oh man, can I tell you? Family, friends, loved ones, outside passions, you have to live life.
Yeah, you do.
The money, you know, after my daughter died, I was sitting in a house, had a bank account, the car, the house, the whole thing, and I would have given it all away to have five more minutes with her.
Oh, of course.
So you know, dream your life. Dream the biggest life that you can imagine. Mm-hmm. The third thing I teach people is setting intentions, not mm-hmm. goals. But I want you to say, at the end of the day, when I go to bed every night, how do I want to feel? How do I know that I've had a good day and made decisions in the right way? Because when you focus on how you want to feel in the business and how you want your customers to feel in the business, you're going to make decisions very differently than if your focus is on the bottom line.
100%. Yep. 100%. Yep. And that almost reminds me of someone who is a business owner who is, there is an inequity between passion and purpose. Let's say there's a lot of purpose, but little passion. And I guess for lack of a better example, an example that pops into my head is someone who is a young adult that is part of a family business for generations, ongoing family business, right? And so, you know, from generation to generation, in this example, the purpose of that owner's child, that owner may have a purpose for their child, and their purpose is to take over this business. But if it's not that child's passion, then there's no alignment there. Is that what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, each of us are here to go through our life and experience things in a certain way.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the things that you have to really think about when you're a parent is, what is your child here to experience? And it's not for you to decide.
Right.
You know, like, and this is a hard example, but right. When my daughter was diagnosed with her illness, she was the one that was sick.
Yeah.
It was her decisions to make. I had her medical power of attorney, but it was her decisions to make, and I was just there to support her.
Yeah.
And this is how strongly I believe in that, right? Mm-hmm. So she had been sick for about 2.5 months, and we were in a hospital in Boston, Massachusetts, and I mean, it was clear she was not doing well physically, and she still would have had to undergo a bone marrow transplant. We'd found a donor and the whole bit, but her body was failing rapidly because of the chemo. Wow. And one day she looked at me and she said, "Mom, the angels say it's time to come home, and I need you to tell Dad and her husband and the doctors, and I need it to not be a fight."
Oh, wow.
So I gathered my husband and her husband, and we sat down and explained, and we all were 100% in agreement that what Lindsay wanted was the right thing.
Right.
So I ended up in the corridor of the hospital in the middle of the night on the phone at a nurse's station on the phone with a doctor.
Yeah.
Who had been, you know, it had been passed up the line that Lindsay had decided to stop treatment.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Do you think she's lucid?" And I said, "Yeah, we wouldn't be having this conversation if she wasn't lucid and if this wasn't her decision."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well, you have the medical power of attorney. You could decide she's not lucid." And I said, "That's not for me to decide, because she is lucid and this is her decision." Right.
Yeah.
So as a parent, the greatest gift we can give our children is to follow their lead.
Yes.
Even when it's really hard for us.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, I mean, it's tough for the parent whose kid doesn't want to follow in their footsteps, but you can't make them.
No, you can't. It's their life to live.
It is.
It's their decisions to make.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. And as parents, I mean, we just naturally, inherently want to bail them out of whatever problem they're in. You know, give me the problem. I want the problem so they don't have it. But, you know, they don't learn to grow and learn lessons. And and deal with reality when it comes to things like that. And but as parents, it's so easy for us to just say, you know, and want to just relieve them of that pain, right?
It is, but we don't actually relieve their pain.
No, we don't. Not when you do it, you know. Yeah. I mean, they have to feel the pain. And yeah. Oh my goodness. That was an extraordinary example that you just gave and visualized to my mind's eye, Maya. That was an extraordinary example, and I appreciate you clarifying that. And for those people who have family businesses, you know, where they're passed from generation to generation, then, you know, it becomes more of purpose than passion. And then it becomes more bottom line than, you know, what am I excited about? What do I get up for? Am I getting up because I'm forced or I feel forced to follow in this path? Or is it because I'm really excited about what I'm doing and how I'm adding value to the world, to society? That is really, it's deep. So two last questions. Sure. First is, have you noticed any change, any manifestation or outcome for a business owner that follows that method of passion and purpose and alignment versus someone who just starts a business because they have a supply or a product or service that may be in demand, but it may not be what gets them jazzed? You know, someone who ordinarily starts a business to start a business versus someone who is aligned with passion and purpose. If you take the two and put them side by side and go out 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you know, what kind of differences are manifested, you know, between the one that follows your path and in your way versus a traditional method?
I can give you a great example of that. Okay. And I worked with this couple that two men married to each other. Mm-hmm. They each had their own business, and then they had their own metaphysical business, and then they had started a metaphysical store together.
Okay.
And they had been in business for several years. It had been kind of going down a path, and it was hard. Like, the store wasn't doing what it needed to. Their marriage wasn't doing, like, it was causing issues in their marriage, right? Sure. And nobody was happy. And they were both really just frustrated with where life was at because they didn't have enough time to juggle everything. And so I actually worked with them, and we started at declaring dominion and then tapping into their inner dreamer. And what came out of that was so profound, because what they realized where they'd ended up was not their dream.
Oh.
They had gone down the road with the business.
Yeah.
Well, this seems logical. That seems logical. Well, let's do this. But it wasn't their passion. So they actually realigned their individual businesses, realigned their store to a community space. Mm-hmm. And once they started to really get into, let's really focus and realign, they're doing fantastic.
Wonderful. That's a great example. Yeah, that's a great example. And again, to have that point of realization doesn't happen unless you declare dominion on your soul and go through the guidance that you provide.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. Exactly. Absolutely extraordinary. Now, Maya, as you know, this show is about overcoming adversity, navigating through obstacles, right? Because that is the reality of life. There's all sorts of turns, inclines, obstacles, barriers. You know, when we are on a path, wherever that path leads us to, wherever we want to go on that path. So And you may have mentioned this in earlier in our conversation, but Maya, I'd love to know from you, and if you can share for the listeners' benefit too, what type of mindset do you navigate or guide your clients through when it comes to, okay, I have passion, I have purpose. Some people have a little too much passion and they have on the rose-colored glasses prior to opening the business. And there's these feelings of grandeur, right? And these visions of grandeur with the business. And coming to grips with reality and starting a new business where, you know, there you may go 2, 3, 4, 5 years before you start to realize a revenue, right? Or a profit. And of course, you know, there's other things, there's payroll, there's taxes, business owner taxes, and just all of those things. And just coming to grips with reality and realizing there will be problems and obstacles, having the mindset to accept that, but at the same time, keep that passion. How would you guide someone so that they're balanced in that space?
So I deeply believe mm-hmm. that when you do the right things for the right reasons, mm-hmm. the abundance will follow. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes to me and says, hey, I want to make X amount of money in the next year.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not the coach for you. Income is important. I'm not saying it's not important,
right.
But if that's what's driving your business, you will fail. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So instead, what I teach them are the, really, it all comes down to value, right?
Right.
It's if you add value to their lives beyond what you're charging them for,
right,
you will always have customers. And I'll give you a real short example of that. When I did wedding photography, mm-hmm. one of the reasons I got hired from wedding to wedding mm-hmm. was that when I went to a wedding, I carried in my camera bag bobby pins and safety pins and scissors and sewing kits and combs and mirrors and all kind like big umbrellas in my car.
Yeah.
What did that have to do with photography? Nothing. Mm-hmm. And everything. Because yeah. I went to weddings every weekend. I know what people need. I know what emergency items they needed that right. nobody would think to have. And right. I would just be like, hold on, I got it. And I, you know, they used to joke about my Mary Poppins camera bag because I'd be yeah. just like, you need what? I've got
yeah.
it.
yeah.
Now,
yeah.
the reason why that added so much value was in those moments where they needed those very simple things and I had them. They were like, oh my gosh, you just saved the day.
Yeah.
Now, did I really? Maybe. No skin off my nose, but
right.
like it added so much value.
Yeah.
You know, just being calm in the middle of chaos added yeah. so much value.
Yes.
That the other people that were there, you know, usually bridesmaids, you know, other mm-hmm. family members about the same age, lots yeah. of weddings.
Right.
And they'd be like, oh my gosh, I'd like to talk to you about doing my wedding. I would get multiple weddings in the same families.
Mm. Amazing.
Simple, amazing. Simple things.
Yeah. Small things that at least for those you're involved with is a big deal to them because of two things, right? The need for it and the timing, right? So yes. It may be a comb. A comb may be something small, but given the circumstance and the timing that they're in at that present moment, having a need for it is everything. So yeah, in some cases, in their minds, you've saved the day for them, you know, and that speaks volumes. And it sounds like it has a residual effect for you. And when I say residual, I'm not meaning financial, but I'm meaning relationship wise. With
yes.
connecting with other people who you've come to the rescue for simply by just having these small things. Extraordinary.
And yeah. that's the mindset and that's the value.
Thank you for that. That's a huge clarification. That's the mindset and that's the value. And that's what's truly important. You're establishing those relationships You're showing and presenting yourself in an authentic, earnest way with those you are involved in during this experience, right? And you're providing an experience for them. It kind of exponentially, transforms, to more customers, which means more relationships, right? And that's where it really comes in. Not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes just to sell them something, and then you're like in and out, thank you, and be transactional like that, it's about having those relationships. Oh, Maya, you've given us a tremendous amount of insight when it comes to finding your purpose, finding your passion, and the alignment between the two, which is critically important, and the lasting effects it can have on being a business owner. This has been quite a delightful conversation. I've really learned a lot. You've said so much that has resonated with the listeners. I can't thank you enough for coming onto the show. So how can the listeners follow you, learn more about your great work, maybe pick up a copy of your book?
So if you go to www.shecreatespeace.com,
okay,
or thesmallbusinesspath.com, either those, it goes to the same website. There's actually a resources page on there, and you can get copies of all of my books. On Instagram and Facebook at thesmallbusinesspath.
Gotcha. At the Small Business Path. Same for both?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And that's on Instagram and Facebook. And okay. And thesmallbusinesspath.com or shecreatespeace.com. There's a resources link. In that link, you have your books where, listeners can place orders. We will make sure
for the cost of your email, you can get a free copy of all my books.
That is amazing. For the listeners, you heard it right here. For the cost of your email, you can get free access to your books.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Guys, this is invaluable, priceless information for those aspiring to be small business owners and entrepreneurs. Okay. I mean, this is stuff that people have paid lots and lots and lots of money for, but told in a way that really centers on your passion and what you love. And that right there is, you can't put a price on that. And Maya is offering this right now on her website. So we will definitely make sure that we put those links in the episode show notes, so you, the listeners, can click these links and have access to those books, that great priceless information for inspiration and motivation and starting your business. Maya Manso, I can't thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for coming onto the show and just sharing your insights and sharing that last part right there. Just so grateful for having you on. And I hope we could stay in touch, and I hope we could bring you on the show in the future, to give us an update. Maybe you'll have another book by then, but I'd love for us to keep in touch.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Likewise. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And you may feel like this at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, we're never alone. Hope is always around the corner. And I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone who you know, who you love, who needs inspiration, motivation, and support. We're all roadies on this journey of life, and it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Road to Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. shoot us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.